willingness is a huge part of the Spirit's work in our lives, and that's just the way it is. So let me put it this way, just for a few moments, just to get our minds around where I'm planning to head for a little bit this morning. If you're here for the first time today, we're in the book of Colossians, and I found this particular study so helpful for my own life because I know that there's just a lot of there's a lot of stuff going on in this world, and I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He is coming. He is resurrected, and He is Lord. But I also know that we have an enemy, and Satan has schemes. And more times I hear from people that they seem to fall back into the schemes that Satan wants to do to move us off of our hope. And that's why it's important to stay in the Word of God. And so that when you go through a book like Colossians, you really see how when the lies came into the early church, that God provided through the Apostle Paul clear teaching of how do you deal with lies. How do you deal with people who try to move you off your hope? So you stay with the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you are susceptible to the lies of Satan. No questions. Words are powerful and they certainly carry meaning. When it comes to understanding a word's meaning, there are two aspects, connotation and denotation. Stay with me. We're going to have some fun, okay? A connotation is the feeling a word invokes. A denotation is what the word literally means. Take, for example, home, the word home. No, it's not the button on your phone, okay? Just the real home. It's the place where one lives permanently. Also, it connotates the feeling or emotion associated with it. Do you see the distinction? Yeah, it's a physical building I go to. It's home, right? It's where I live. But what comes up in your mind when you think of home? A lot of people look forward to going home after a vacation. I look forward to having people to my home because there's something about that moment that brings you a sense of this is where the good stuff happens. I'm going to give you a few more examples of words that have both positive and negative connotations. Smell, fragrance, right? Stench. Do you see that? Store, save, or hoard. Persistent, persevering, or stubborn. Some people think when you say, hey, they're persistent, what you're really saying is they're just a stubborn old ox, right? Inactive. Oh, they're laid back. They're casual. They're cool. Lazy. There it is. Oh, they're thin. They're slender. Skinny. Young. Youthful. Or childish, right? You see that? Economical. Oh, she's so economical. She's thrifty. She's a good steward. She's miserly. Right? Do you see the distinction? Words connotate meaning, and you have a certain concept when you hear a word. Probably initially the thought comes into your mind. Unusual. Exceptional. Strange. You know. The last two here. We're going to do this for an hour. Inexpensive. Economical. That was cheap. I've heard more people having disappointing purchases at some of the cheaper stores. Hey, it just really only lasted me a week. Here's the last one. Submission. Willing. Suppression / abuse. So a lot of people think of submission as a out of balance mismanagement of one's authority. So I say that to say before we go into this passage, I think we need to take a fresh look at submission. And I'd like to read Colossians chapter 3 verses 18 to 25 will be up on the screen. Scripture says, and the Apostle Paul says it this way, wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. On the back of your bulletin, hopefully you'll see these. We should always want to grasp the true meaning and the context of the Word of God. And when we do, here's what occurs. I really believe if we understand proper understanding of submission, obey, and what Scripture is telling us here, it demonstrates a right understanding. You are not bothered or irritated when you hear the Word, which is sometimes, you know, you throw words out today. You know, people have, you say conservative, liberal. It's like, you know, there's just so much baggage with those terms that it's hard to even think about what might be the real meaning of those words. So when you understand and you ascertain the real context in the Word of God, it shows that you're developing correct understanding or right understanding. It demonstrates real knowledge. Just because you think, oh, I heard a sermon on this and I didn't like it. And, you know, you heard something out of context and somebody hijacked something and then you developed a sort of baggage associated with that. But as you grow in understanding God's word, you show that you're demonstrating real knowledge. You get it. It's like this thing just sort of pops out. It's like, yeah. It also shows here, I believe, you're demonstrating reliance on the Lord. And so that's kind of where I hope we would sort of see here. There's a lot here and I just intend to cover some of this. And I want to also remember what the Apostle Peter said in his final words in his second epistle. Keep in mind the whole letter that Peter was writing in that second letter was the progression of false teachers and their destruction. The huge news of the day of the Lord. That's really what Peter was saying, that there is a wrap-up coming. And that is where we need to always be thinking, that the rapture of the church, the catching of believers, could happen at any moment, and there's nothing else on the schedule that needs to happen. Clearly, God's letting other things become in alignment. So, but we always want to be balanced in our thinking about prophetic things too. And Peter wrote this. He says, "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation." In other words, just because Jesus hasn't come back yet, what you're really seeing is the heart and the love of God for people, even the most rebellious among us, right? Some of us have been there, done that. We lived that way. And we were proud of it. We boasted about it. But he says this, as also our beloved brother Paul. So Peter's affirming here that he understands Paul's teaching. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction as they do the rest of the Scriptures. So if you don't take the right knowledge and the right understanding to an aspect of Scripture, you could distort it. It can just happen. I hear today that people don't like to teach about end times things, and a third of the Bible is prophetic. Well, just because somebody has misrepresented prophecy doesn't give any pastor the right to ignore it. When you talk about relationship aspects like we're going to talk about today, in my estimation, this is some of the most practical outworkings in every household that could happen under the banner of Jesus Christ. And if you think about the condition of the average household today, it's rough. All right? So that's just part of just everyday observations of what people go through. And we have all ways of coping with crises in our families. And, you know, there's always something that we're trying to do to keep and hold things together. Many people have lost their way in their family. And there's been stuff. And some of us have been the byproduct of divorce. And we know what that looks like. And we see the long-term effects of that go way beyond, you know, way beyond the decision. It still has long-reaching effects. And so a lot of it, I believe, is dealt with properly here. And we should get on board with what the Word of God says, that we're not saying, that ain't for me. Excuse me. I don't mean to be sarcastic, and I'm not saying that anyone here, but there could be somebody listening out there in radio land that might have problems when you talk about words like submission. And there's a lot in our society today that is really trying to draw the line between men and women. If anything, just blur all the genders. There is no, it's all gender neutral today. And so some of that is just where we're at as a society and as a culture. And so don't expect the world to love the Bible. The people who love the Bible understand that they needed Jesus Christ, and God had an orderly plan from the get-go, and He is on schedule to accomplish exactly what he intends to accomplish, and he will accomplish it, but he's a God of order. Just look at your own human body. The fact that that heart keeps ticking, it keeps sending blood into all the areas of your body, and you can tell this part over here to do this right now while I'm telling you, tell your own body to do it. You'll get the point, right? Move that third toe, okay? You probably can feel it. It's like, what, is that just by accident? You know, God designed us. He made us. And so much more complexity in the universe and everything else that goes with the order. So we have a God of order in spite that we also have a world that has fallen into sin. And that's what we're dealing with today in our relationships. The apostle established a pattern for thinking and living correctly. This is what I'm going to tell you that's happening here in the book of Colossians. I'm sort of trying to bring in a nugget every single week. One more approach to why this book of Colossians was written. So the apostle established a pattern for thinking, and correct living by helping us to see how much Christ did for us. Canceling out our record of sins committed, supplying to us through his life a brand new life for us to thrive in by the Holy Spirit's power. Jesus Christ rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Colossians 1:14. And here's the question. How do you and I now maximize our full growth and development as we learn to submit to one another in our relationships? The most challenging ones that we're faced with. Guess where they are? The home and work. These are the places that people get to know us best and see our weakness. People find that if you're in a relationship with somebody who knows your weakness, sometimes they capitalize on your weakness. They have a little thumb on you. I've been in work situations where I had some weaknesses, and so therefore I get myself in situations and I had to find myself learning how to be strong in those matters. And so this is really what the heart, at the heart of this set of scriptures is exactly what the apostle wants us to see. Salvation, keep this in mind, my sin was removed by God in Christ. I'm declared not guilty before him. Whether I feel guilty or not, on the basis of what happened at the cross, God has the right to declare you not guilty. The challenge that we all face is not feeling guilty because we can feel accused. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren, says the scripture. So you can feel the accusations, your own weakness. There's a bunch of stuff that can go on in our lives, and we wish the shoulda, coulda, the would-haves, all those things. But the reality is, your sin has been, if you're in Christ today, that means that you've asked Christ to save you. Some people, this is so dramatic because there's been dramatic events in their life that led up to their pouring out their heart to God. But you take a three-year-old like my daughter Amanda, who remembers saying, hey, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior at 2.5. Amanda, thank the Lord, has not lived this rebellious life. You know, she'll tell you she still feels like a rebel at times. You know, she's on track to serve the Lord, but because this stuff started early in her life. You know, we have to also remember that just because you're raised in a Christian home doesn't mean you really get all this stuff. Hopefully some of it's rubbing off on you. That's the thing. But you want your children thriving. You want your kids to know Christ. You want your family members to know the Lord, to know his power. Because it is not an addiction. It is not in all the things that the world seeks out to find relief from their pain. How many of us could identify with that video early about Easter? You get those moments where you have no money, refrigerator's empty, whatever. You know, whatever the circumstances, conflict in your home. And you could say, I feel empty. Sometimes you're at a place of full of people and you still feel a sense of emptiness. Well, you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not imaginary. He's real. And he promised that he would send his Holy Spirit after he left. And so everything that is in our life that God says, I expect you to live this way, he's not left us without the power to do so. And I like to also make the point that salvation, we often leave salvation that I did receive Christ. I do know him. I did trust him. Do you recognize the fact that you need a continual salvation daily from your old self that's already been crucified with Christ, but for you to get it, And so we have to be careful not to chase conference experiences and all these things. If I just went there, I'd be better. If I just bought this, I'd be better. You can grow every day in the misery sometimes of your own life. You can trust that God is at work in your situation right now. And the most powerful thing that I believe is on planet Earth is the local church, a healthy local church, a church that loves Jesus, loves Him, understands Him, knows how to serve one another, gets out of the way, sees their own weakness and says, you know what, I'm making room for God in my life. Amen? That's what we want. You know, you got to keep in mind too, that when you look back in Genesis chapter, early in Genesis, where Satan tempts Eve, right? And you see sin coming into the world, he attacked Adam's life partner. And that's why today, when you see that, you see this quest for authority in a marriage. You see this, who's really in charge, and you know she wears the pants. And what you're really seeing is a battle for order and authority. I'm not saying that women by any means can't manage a huge aspect of the home and do the things that they could do. There's stuff that my wife can do with my kids that I can't do. I am just clueless. I don't know how she generates that much emotion every time to interact with them. She's just wired differently. I'm like, get up, get off the floor, put your pants on, let's get going, you know? And she's like, come on, Aaron, you can do it, buddy. You can do it, buddy. You can do it. It's like, it's just this... It's like, wow, you're just so wired differently than me. And that's where I learned to respect the roles that I have. Yes, Christ has established that I'm the head of the household, that I'm to lead. And this scripture is so complex in terms of how we're supposed to carry out our true love for Christ in our homes, in our workplaces, in our family relationships. If this stuff is hard in our homes, it's because we are not, I believe, understanding what God wants us to see here. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. There's a scripture I want to read in just a second, but when you think about when Christ Jesus came to this earth, he was willing to accomplish his Father's will. Jesus Christ is equal with God, but he humbles himself. He submits to the Father's will. Let this mind be in you. This would be in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Isaiah says that you could barely recognize him. He was just esteemed. He was just like he looked like an everyday average person. He concealed his godness by occupying a body. And you think of Jesus' hands and being a carpenter and working and doing the things that he could have done physically. Just a guy. He looks like the average person, and that's why people had a hard time when he claims himself equal with God. People are struggling with this, but this is God's master plan. That this is how we would know how much Christ Jesus loved us. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So when you think about this idea of submission, we're watching how God the Son submits to God the Father and does something that is so amazing. He lays down his life on a cross. And so as a wife submits to her husband as unto the Lord, she's thinking, you know what? Look at the way Jesus fully cooperated with the Father's will. And when God's placed somebody, you know, in a marriage where the husband is the head of the wife, you are entrusting him. You are allowing him to be your head, because ultimately women are the weaker vessel and they need that protection. They need that. And God does amazing things when this thing's firing in all cylinders. He's working it together. There is stuff in my family that I say, you know what? My wife's not going there alone. I am going to do that. I'm going to lead her. I'm going to protect her. I don't want her going there. I will take her. She can't drive. Her eyes are messed up. I'm going to take her. I'm going to lead her. I'm going to be the example so that she can see that, so she feels secure and safe. Sometimes what happens is women don't feel secure and safe, and so they wind up taking the leadership in their own lives. But men, I believe this is our job by God to serve, to be available, to be what God wants us to be in these roles. Amen. Amen. Tough stuff, okay? Just saying. This is stuff. Just think of what Matthew points out about Jesus. He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You and I are sitting in this room today because we're benefiting from the obedience of Jesus Christ. We're benefiting. We are privileged people for what he did for us. And so he's the pattern. He's the awesome pattern. It says here in verse 19, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. This is the same word in the Greek as agape. This is the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the best books I've read, and I've shared some of this at weddings, is the book by Emerson Eggerichs called Love and Respect. Has anybody read the book by Emerson Eggerichs, Love and Respect? It is a fabulous book. Guess what Emerson proved? That the University of Washington did research. This is not a Christian college, okay? They proved of what does it take for women to feel their right role in a marriage and for men to actually thrive in their marriage, right? It's exactly what the scripture says. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. When a woman's not feeling loved, she's feeling isolated. The scripture goes on to say, wives, respect your husbands as unto the Lord. If there's no respect happening from the woman, see, what we think is, he don't deserve no respect. He's been lazy, you know, or you know, somehow, I can't love her, she's just nagging me. You do it as unto the Lord. You're not a man, you know, you're not just trying to do this because it's good for you. It's good because God says it's good, and God will, he will work with you. He will help you. And I know some people are in situations that it's just not as easy as I'm trying to make it sound, but all the more that you should say, God, how do you want me to act here? What could I do to show forth this agape love to my wife? Whether I feel like it or not, this whole feeling thing is like chasing a rat, right? So often it's like, I don't feel this way. Well, then I don't do it. Well, I tell you something. Sometimes you just step up and you do it, you feel it. I've watched my own daughter who for a long time, you know, had to work hard through her schooling. And I have come to be baffled over how much this girl has become an amazing student. You name it. Books that she has to read this thick. She's working on a degree. And I used to hear her, Mommy, I can't. This is when Amanda was little. Mommy, it's hard, Mommy. You know. And now it's like, hey, I did this. I read 65 pages. And I'm thinking, you know, and she's now showing us that there is, as you practice, you can become good at being a Christian. Just because it's hard and it's challenging doesn't mean that you're off the hook. If anything, and I've learned this in my own ministry here at this church, I do it whether I feel like it or not. I do it because it's the right thing to do, because I care about the people here and I want them blessed. I want you encouraged. I want you, and I'm going to stand before God and give an account for how I did as a pastor of this church. That day is coming for me, and I better get used to it. So while I know it's coming, I need to serve the Lord. And this is the same thing for every marriage. Men, you're going to give an account for how you cared for your wife. Wives, you're going to give an account for how you respected your husbands. Smile, people. This is not that bad, okay? This is good, because you want to serve the Lord, and I know it's hard. Guess what? Because in you and in me is a rebel heart. There's a rebel heart in every one of us. That's why this doesn't come easy. Who just finds marriage just to be never hard? It's just so sweet and it's a honeymoon. Pat, you're a good man. Okay. No. That's right. It was that book I had you read. No. That's right. No, just keep going, brother. Keep going. And again, I think marriage, my wife and I were together yesterday, and she goes, I just want to be with you. I'm like, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. We got to stop by the church, do a few things, get ready for today. I'm like, I have the best wife in the whole wide world. Somebody who's there for me, and I get to spend eternity with her. In the meantime, I'm just trying to do what I can to help her to be as complete as possible, and have failed numerous times, but she's so graceful, and she's awesome. And she reminds me that, you know what, we're in this together. So, yeah. Amen. Thank you. So, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. If your wife is weak or somebody that you are considering marrying is weak, don't let that weakness become something that you turn bitter towards them. This is really some of the stuff that you think about what happens in marriages, and I hear these people like, oh yeah, we were soulmates, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're not my soulmate. You know, they kind of protest that they ever really loved the person. It's because, you know what, what you found in you was something, and you see in this difficulty is not so much the person, it's what's in you. And I'm not saying there isn't infidelity and other things that happen in relationship, but when people just say, I fell out of love, it's because what you realize is a lot harder than you realize. And you need the grace of God to do a good marriage. Yep. Children, obey your parents in all things. If you think about these terms, submission, obey, obedient, it all basically means the same thing. It means cooperate. It means cooperate. And the standard of our cooperation is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's like, who's worthy of his love? Who's worthy of what he's done for us? None of us are worthy, but he makes us worthy. And he wants us to think about, hey, listen, I'm coming. I'm going to lay my life down for you, and I'm going to teach you how to overcome what are some of the hardest things in your life to overcome. This actually should give us a full appreciation for the gospel and the power that God has already shown forth in raising his son from the dead. The scripture says this same power that is in you is the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, we're without excuse. If you want to get on board with serving Christ and having the power to serve him, God says, I'm going to give you everything you need, minus all your excuses, or even with your excuses. God says, I want to empower you. And I've learned in my own life, the very best thing when I feel stressed and upset is to shut my mouth, if I can just say it that way. This thing can just get you, or the gears start changing, and you sit, you know, and I say, you know what? Yeah, right now, I don't like the way I feel. I'm just going to shut my mouth, because I don't want those words coming out of my mouth. And I ask the Lord to put a guard over my mouth. I don't have to get upset. You know what? The Bible says be slow to speak and quick to listen. So there are some steps that each of us can take as we fall into submission to what God wants for us. So fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. We have to be really careful with our kids. Maybe they're not quite performing the way that we might have expected or had hoped for. But at the same time, God can give you such a tender heart for your children, even your adult children, even the little ones that you still might have in your home. God can give you an understanding for them, and so that they are not becoming embittered towards you. I think the worst words a parent can hear is, I hate you. Like, well, what happened there? What happened there? It's nasty words. That's frustration, that's bitterness, and we're all weak, and we need that. We need to build up our kids and affirm them to the best of our ability. So I just, you know, point this out to you to say, you know what, Christ Jesus is our example. That's why Paul would say, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. In other words, whoever's your earthly boss, do your best. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus loves that we talk about him. Jesus takes great pleasure in that we are looking to him for everything that we need to live a life of godliness and to do it in a way that would please him. And as scripture says here, and this can be a little bit like, ooh, what's that mean? But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Let me speak to this for just a second. This idea of sowing and reaping. If a person is a terrible employee and they're lazy and they get fired, I can consider that to be a judgment of God. You got fired, you were lazy, okay? Now, other things can happen too. You can serve God and you can kind of maintain the job, and yet God knows what you did. He knows how you did it. And so at some point, you could suffer reward at the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, God isn't playing favorites. He's made it possible for us to serve him. He wants us to serve him. No matter what you get to do in your home or your workplace or wherever you are, think of it as a privilege, as I'm serving Jesus. If it's cutting vegetables, if it's washing dishes, if it's emptying a dishwasher, if it's just mowing your yard that's full of weeds, think of it as you're serving the Lord. It's everything. You're making a Thanksgiving breakfast item. Some of you, I'm just looking for Eggs Benedict. Just please bring it, okay? Whatever you want to bring it on. But as you do these things, you know, think of the women who went to the tomb and they had prepared those spices. Guess who they're doing that for? The Lord Jesus. Just think of all the things in the scripture that shows the genuineness of service. A year ago, and we'll be getting ready for Easter, I was doing my best to decorate this cross for Easter. And actually, I got tears in my eyes because I just thought about the moments where they pulled Jesus Christ off the cross. And you think sometimes when you're serving the Lord that the Lord sees that. He sees your broken heart. Sometimes we observe the Lord's table here at the church, and I think of my Savior who was beaten for me. A crown of thorns was placed on his head, and he did this because he loves me. There's no greater love than that love at that cross. And so we should want to continue to keep ourselves in the love of God. And as you do that, it takes the everyday stuff of life, the stuff that you're doing Monday through whatever, Sunday, and the stuff that we're going to get out of here in a little bit and have to go back and do, and getting back into life and caring for kids that have needs and all this other stuff that goes on just with our lives. It keeps it fresh when you realize that what you're doing is unto the Lord. Christ sees that, and he wants to reward your faithful service. You're not trying to earn. You can't earn the salvation he gave you, but he certainly wants to reward you for your understanding and knowledge. I love what one pastor said, and I'm going to leave it with this. Submission, that word again, submission, is doing everything I can do to make another a success. Think of it that way. It takes the meaning off of a word that the world wants to trash and call it lordship and abuse. And I'm not saying some of that stuff is terrible. A man who's abusive to his family needs to stop. You need to stop that. And we just have to always say, you know what? This is a moment for me. I don't care how frustrated I feel. I'm going to put myself under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to serve him because he loved me first, and I can love the people that are in my life. Amen? Amen. Submission is doing everything that you can do to make another a success. And God sees that. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the reminders and this clear teaching and sometimes the struggle, Lord, that we will have. This is, Lord, we have to be reasonable here that this is still going to be, even after we desire to be better at this, Satan would love for us to fail and then point the finger. So, Father, I would just pray this morning for all of us in this room who may have said, you know what, that describes me. I'm there. I feel these pressures. And Father, I would ask you, Lord, that we would be reminded that if any man, any woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So Lord, help us see ourselves as the new people that we are, because we stepped in by faith into Jesus Christ. We trusted him. He loves us. And so, Lord, I would ask you today that you would, again, just encourage those who are feeling weak or faint over this. For those, Lord, who need some parenting help, whatever the situation might be, Lord, I pray you'd encourage them. Lord, if they're already doing their best in certain areas, Lord. I just would pray that they would feel that encouragement by you. I want to thank you for the local church and how the local church can be an encouragement one to another as we see the day approaching, Lord. You know what we're in. You know what you came to. You understand that we are weak, but you supplied us with the Holy Spirit so that we could succeed. We aren't victims. We don't have to just be a constant victim of bad parenting. We can thrive and learn and grow and learn to do what the Scripture says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.